More than 40,000 small planes that are not equipped to fly on instrument flight rules, or their pilots aren't, are stranded on the ground, leaving many small plane pilots and the small operations that sell them fuel and the like in the lurch. To talk more about this Catch-22 situation, we turn to Phil Boyer, president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Mr. Boyer, good to have you with us.
Well, good to be here, Miles, and so exciting, of course, for those of us who live in the Washington area to see the opening of National Airport. But at the same time, as you said, to be very discouraged that we have some 282 airports in those big city areas that are surrounded by a 20 to 30 mile circle that cannot fly on visual flight rules.
Let's try to explain this to the uninitiated. Essentially, the big city airports, there is a specific veil, if you will, which limits this visual flight rules type flight. What happens is the veil also blankets over a lot of smaller airports. What is the intended idea here, as best you see it, from the federal government's perspective?
Well, this airspace was set up primarily not for our national security, but it was set up for keeping the smaller planes, the business flights, the personal flights, the aerial operators, aerial surveys, away from the major hub airport, mainly for air traffic purposes. Many of our members who fly small planes for business and pleasure would not want to come to National or Dulles in the Washington area, or would not want to go to Hartsfield where you live and fly, but would rather go to the many surrounding general aviation airports that are within a distance of a major metropolitan area. And people don't realize that 90% of all flying is under visual flight rules.
All right, but let's play devil's advocate here for a moment. Given all the concerns after the September 11th attack, the fact that it's known now that the alleged hijackers received flight training on small aircraft in order to be able to perhaps guide those planes into those buildings, there is some obvious concern about those flights and about what they might portend. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think we have been very, very concerned about that in the first week, in the second week. But we've seen an opening of our airspace, as you said earlier, to many types of operations. For instance, in these same areas now, in the Class B airspace around these 30 big cities, except for two exceptions, you can give flight training. And not only that, as of last Friday, you could allow a student, someone with maybe 8 to 12 hours, to take the plane up at that airport on their own. And yet at the same time, the flight instructor, the licensed pilot, could not do the same thing with the airplane. And so what many of the pilots are asking is, well, if these rules have been relaxed, why in the world is the owner of a plane that I may use for business or for aerial application or for aerial surveys or whatever, why can't I use my airplane?
I'm sure a lot of people in the audience probably are not feeling too sorry for people who have the wherewithal to buy small aircraft. But how much of a hardship is this, really, given the times?
Well, don't forget that many people use their small aircraft just like a car. As a matter of fact, today's typical airplane is about 34 years old and has the price of about the average price of about the price of an SUV or a car. They are used very heavily for business travel in and around, say, three-state areas, etc., and are an alternative to airline travel. And this is putting not only those people who own the planes, but think for a moment about the whole infrastructure of businesses that support them, the people who fuel them, maintain them, the flight schools. And in 282 airports, we're looking at a significant layoff of people and economic disincentives.
All right. Phil Boyer, the president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, who will be lobbying Congress today to try and get those VFR pilots back in the air in those 30 major metropolitan areas. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Mark.